This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to After...
Oh, Lucha Afterground!
Oh my god, I was about to go... I have the muscle memory from my MasterChef podcast. Yes. I was just completely launching into that.
That's cool.
It's called AfterChef, check it out.
Yeah, do you ever make the mistake on the other
probably
way?
Probably not, right?
No, because...
Because I'm second best. That's it. We haven't done the show in a very long time.
I know, but we're off to a great start.
Oh my god, I don't know. My name is Max, with me as always.
Travis. Hi, guys.
Trav.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot. I think overall our feelings on the first episode were disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Just lukewarm.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like a premiere. It wasn't a lot to get you talking.
Yeah. Overall... Not sure if this episode...
Yeah?
Yes.
I thought it was better. I thought it was definitely better.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I saw some stuff I liked. But we should, as you mentioned in our iTunes write-up, and on the placetobenation.com website, we were rusty but enthusiastic.
Sure.
So I do want to clear up a couple mistakes we made.
Oh, God.
First of all...
Oh, no.
That is indeed cheerleader Melissa, as Bobby C. informed us.
No.
Yes, it is. She did, as he mentioned, she did have an augmentation in the past year or so. So there's that. So I went back and checked to make sure that we just weren't, like, horrendous. And we weren't nice, but we weren't awful people. I'd like to think when we...
I'm flabbergasted, man.
I was surprised myself.
Are we sure?
Yep.
Okay.
Come on. Comes from Bobby C.
I guess.
Also from a dear follower and member of the Place to Be Nation family, Kelly Nelson tweeted at us that Willie McClinton Jr. is an American professional wrestler better known by his ring name, Willie Mack.
William McClinton Jr. No, nobody offered up us any extra info about Mr. Pectacular?
Not yet.
Oh, I thought that maybe that...
No. That's good. I like that lingering mystery. I hope it'll be kind of like Dr. Wagner Jr., how we didn't want to learn anything about him. Now we wished we'd learn more.
That's true. Mr. Pictacular. Mm-hmm. I was expecting him to... Anyways, we'll get into it. Mm-hmm.
Any other news and notes?
Any other news and notes? I mean... no.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay.
It's not really...
Wasn't a lot of buzz for this after it came out.
Yeah. It's, man, the show, going, the first episode of its second season, it was Lucha Underground fever was, you know, spreading through the nation.
Sure.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that a lot, actually, when we were watching this. And I think I've, at the risk of repeating myself, although it's been a year since we've really been on the air, so whatever.
Yeah.
But... I think there was so much promise in the beginning because of a couple of things. One was the vignettes and like all the mystery and supernatural stuff, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it really felt like the people who were creating the show had long-term storytelling plans and ideas. Mm-hmm. And that things were building towards something that was going to make sense and that there were stakes and all this sort of stuff. Which is like the opposite of like modern wrestling, which is like there really are no stakes. Although they try to convince you there's stakes. If you watch a promotion long enough, if the personnel is not changing, you realize that none of it really matters.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like life, you know?
But therein lies the challenge. I mean, there's some who are able to...
Yes, it's
to
true.
...use that and make it keep working.
It's totally true. But I feel like they just kind of fell into that, you know...
Yes.
Nothing.
I mean, I think that they still do have some long term things that they keep touching on, whether like that. I think they will be able to eventually pay off regardless of who is still with them. But I think the fact that they've had to replace and lose some and make some changes, that's bound to muck any long term plans up. At least somewhat, if I can play devil's advocate for a minute. I mean, I see your point, Max.
Thank you. I wonder what it, if you lock up with somebody to a seven year contract,
yeah.
Do you have a 7 year plan for them?
I think maybe that would be part of the, that when you're signing that initial, what signing that contract is, here's mm-hmm. where we aim for you to da 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 over.
Yeah. You're an season. Actor though. When you get signed to like, if you get signed to a,
well, whenever I'm signed to a 7 year contract,
but I mean, let's say you got signed to be an actor on a show and they're only booking like 4 episodes. Nobody comes to you and says, here's the arc of your,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Right. Like the story Bible doesn't have the conclusion to your character's arc in it.
I think it would depend on the role. Maybe, and I can see them do it season by season. It depends on the show, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other question for you off the top. Will there be Lucha Underground season 5? What's your thinking right now?
Depends. Well, their viewership was big. As I saw, Lucha Blog, seventh highest in history.
Really?
Yeah. And if they can do that with less of a... budget or like cost to per episode, then you know, if El Rey Network is still around, like I don't know what else would be drawing for them, you know.
Yeah, what is the overall health of El Rey Network? Mm-hmm. I really wonder that.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of interesting stuff,
mm-hmm. as I'll get to later in the show.
Oh no. Oh, God. Yeah, just take half the time you took the lesson.
Okay, you're ready? Okay. Yeah, it's basically the same thing. But shall we go?
Let's do it.
Ring the bell.
Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 2. The recap talks about Antonio Cueto and the Gauntlet. Remind us that King Cuerno has it. They remind us of the remix of the Trios Champions, as well as Aztec Warfare 2 and the match... to come between Pentagon Dark and Matanza. So first, we are in King Cuerno's place. You can tell right away, the just cameras panning across to all the taxidermy. And Katrina bamps in there and goes up to where the cloth is. And you know, the gauntlet must be in there, but there's no gauntlet under the glass.
I had forgotten what it was, actually. And when she pulled the cloth off...
Mm-hmm.
It was like some kind of, there was something in there.
I know, you could tell,
and I was like, what is this?
I can imagine somebody might not understand.
I was like, what is she looking at?
I mean, I kind of knew, I gathered from the recap that she'd be looking for the gauntlet.
Mm.
But I imagine like someone's like, oh, it's a, is it kind of like just a weird hammer that doesn't
That's
have much?
What I thought. It's like some kind of tool.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like
she
a some kind
disappointed.
Of skinning tool or something.
Potato peeler.
Yeah, for like, you know, separating
hides from animals.
It's his prized possession. Loser gets skinned.
Oh, God. That's awful.
That could be good.
Anyways, King Cuerno enters, and he just talks up the gauntlet. King Cuerno's performance in this scene, awesome.
Very good.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
This is the most kind of continued acting I've seen him have to show.
Who knew he speaks such perfect English?
I know. He said he gave it to someone for safekeeping, so that's interesting.
Oh.
And you know, she's talking about she wants it because she's stuck in between the spirit world and the real world kind of thing. And I love his line. I don't give a shit whether you get it.
That was startling.
Get your life back. That's fantastic.
It was, that's the first time anybody swore... In a vignette, right?
Maybe.
I can't remember anybody else.
I don't know, but it was awesome.
The crowd swears all the time.
Yes.
Vampiro swears all the time.
Yeah.
But I have never heard any... That was a scripted line.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Crazy.
I know.
It's so weird.
I know.
I wonder who gave the gauntlet to.
I know.
Somebody new or somebody... Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. Mr. Pectacular.
Oh, my God. Mr. Pectacular.
Anyways.
One giant key.
King Cuerno. Great in this scene. Great in this scene. Early candidate for MVP of the season.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we go into the ice temple. House.
Yeah, the band is back.
Are we calling it the temple, or are we calling
it the ice house now? Sorry, I guess you might be right.
I don't know.
Does he refer to it as a temple?
He says
I don't know. Oh, but have you seen his Twitter, Antonio Cueto's Twitter?
You sent it to me, but I
sent you one.
Is that the official Twitter?
Yes. Okay. And he's very good at responding to fans and stuff too.
Nice.
In character. He's like, I've got all this Modelo stacked. Please, God. Like, he's not hiding the fact. I like that. Yeah. I mean, we were concerned about the use of Modelo in this. And that was one thing I kind of, you know, if you tuned into this not knowing anything, if you were whatever on a trip into Southern California or something and you're flipping in your hotel room and you saw this with the Modelo on it, for some reason I think that like might give it a little bit more cachet, credibility.
Right. I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a weird thing, man, because when I first started watching New Japan, I really liked the fact that they had ads on the rings and turnbuckle because it made it feel more like professional sports.
Yeah.
For some reason, with Lucha Underground, listen, I mean, I don't even like the fact that they have cameras and stuff like that. We talk about it all the time.
Yes.
But I mean, like, if you don't have cameras, how do you watch it? Yeah. But it just doesn't, it breaks the reality so much.
Of it being underground fighting as opposed to...
I would be totally okay with everything if it wasn't just the rope colors. Because that's the one thing that just doesn't make sense.
Mm.
If it's some old warehouse, wait, where are you getting the ropes that are just perfectly the same tone of blue and yellow as Modelo? I just, man, I just wish it wasn't necessary. But maybe
Antonio cares a little more about interior design.
I guess. I don't know. Even if they're all just blue, that'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Or all yellow would be a little weird.
All right. The ropes.
The ropes. I'm never going to... Preview to episode 20. I'm still complaining about the ropes.
Mariachi El Bronx. That was one thing that was missing from episode 1 was the band. And this band is great. He's like, make some noise after he's done or whatever. Like, they're into it. The first match for the Trios Championship is Killshot, Son of Havoc, and the Mac versus Infamous Inc., as Famous B says.
Mm-hmm. And now, when this gets introduced, my mind immediately goes to, okay, they're going to continue this story with the Trios Champs.
Yeah.
And Son of Havoc is fresh on the team. He didn't earn it. That is going to be the crux of this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. All of that completely ignored.
Yeah.
None of it.
No. Yeah. So yeah, there was less exposition in that first episode than we really thought.
Yeah.
Melissa starts to announce who is it? Tejano and
Dr. Wagner Jr.
And everybody
And Famous B.
And Famous B grabs on the mic. The
three trios.
Yeah. And
I popped. I was like, yes, Dr. Wagner Jr. Back the game.
I know, me too. He didn't say that they're gone for good. He says they're making money for him down in Maine.
We know that they're gone for good.
I can imagine. Yeah. But he says they're here to capture Trio's goal. I know Trio's gold. I noticed Brenda's really going big here. She was really into it. Anyways, whatever. That's
her role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got three new clients. Number one, Big Bad Steve.
Who...
It's Pindar.
No.
Yes, it's Pindar. It's Steve Payne.
Ha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like fine. But weirdly, I think he looks even more like Thwomp from Mario Brothers than when he had that the lizard mask.
Totally. Are you sure? Did you look this up?
Yeah. No, okay. I know. I follow Steve Payne on wrestling Twitter.
Okay, cool. I was wondering. I was like, we have a brand new Mr. Spectacular on the scene.
Big Bad Steve. Next, Sammy Guevara, who I think I had heard was going to be added in the offseason.
Yeah.
Which is great. He's a good fit. Exciting to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a few Sammy Guevara matches. And I've seen one live, and I felt always underwhelmed because the reputation he hadn't matched up to what I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
But this helped me begin to understand it a little bit more.
Cool.
He did some things in this that I certainly hadn't seen before. Some cool like combo sequences. One that ends with like a corkscrew mm-hmm. drop kick. Oh, it was really, really cool stuff. But there's always seems to be some people talk about him as if he is like a Ricochet or Will Ospreay high flyer, which is very not true.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think so.
I do see him on that same level, yeah, of like a kill shot or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to shy away from going up to the top rope,
but he's also not going
to. He's not going to. He's not going to blow. He's not going to endanger himself, I think, recklessly. Mm-hmm. Really,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, number three, Savage Jake Strong, who is, Jack Swagger. Had you heard this before?
I had heard.
I think I had, yeah.
So I wasn't really...
too surprised?
I was reminded.
Yeah, I think that was it for me, too.
And,
I was like, oh, yeah, Swagger.
Now, I never really saw Jack Swagger in his heyday, so when this started, I was like, great, I'm going to be introduced to this person and his, you know, roster of moves and his abilities and all this sort of stuff. Blank slate for me, totally.
Yeah, cool.
And the first thing I was shocked by was how big that dude is.
Yeah.
I had seen him, you know, in WWE before, like way before he left, but I don't remember him ever being that massive.
Yeah, he's probably matched up with guys that were close to the same size or bigger.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
That is a huge dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he's super athletic. He's kind of like a Kurt Angle or even Lesnar to some, like, in that kind of mold.
Mm.
Yeah, he could be great. I was thinking I want, like, him and Mil Muertes. That's what I want to see.
Wow.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah, I would definitely, I got to say, like, I kind of... The biggest thing for me coming out of this is just his size. I don't think, and maybe that his finisher is the ankle lock. Also, I guess he broke
King's ankle. That's a nice twist.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think.
It was a nice twist. nothing. I thought this was more of a showcase. Oh, there you go. We got the window open.
Yeah.
In the studios. that's what we call this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was way more of a showcase for Sammy than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Until after the match.
Yeah, the Mac was like almost non-existent in this thing.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I did love his shoulder tackle. Did you see that?
Yes. Was that what that was supposed to
be? Yeah, I think...
I thought he was supposed to be trying to catch him into a cutter and it didn't work.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I was... I think we'll get to it. I'll know more about with like the setup here. So it opened with Guevara and Killshot. Great action to start. More good work with Son of Havoc and Sammy Guevara before he tagged in Big Bad Steve, who's fine in there, just like he's doing it, what Pindar did, just in a different role.
He's fine.
Then it evolved into a spot fest, into a near fall from Guevara. There was a crazy, what is this? Maybe something from Mac and Killshot on Sammy Guevara. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It could have been a misguy. It made me laugh. You think he was just meant to just kind of throw the shoulder into the body being flown, or was he supposed to catch him? I don't know. I'd have to see it again.
Yeah, but I loved it. It was the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
It was the most interesting move that happened in the entire show.
I'd say. It seemed kind of reckless, but maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Yeah. Famous B with the distraction, which leads to your Killshot tapping, but he couldn't see. So Famous B's costing his team the gold here. Mac hits a stunner, Son of Havoc hits open road on Big Bad Steve for the win. And then post-match, Jake beats up his teammates, grabs Facebook Famous B as well. I'm looking at my shorthand. FB, of course. Leg snap, and just broke his leg. And here's what I think they're going to start... pushing Jake Strong as this kind of like monster baby face now.
A baby face, you think? Wow.
Well, because he broke Famous B's leg. Well, everybody hates him.
Yeah, that's true. I can kind of see because now he's breaking ankles. He's going to break a few more ankles for sure. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you got Pentagon Jr. breaking arms.
Yeah.
So at some point, those two.
Maybe that'll be your Ultima Lucha 4 main event.
Wow.
Right?
Hmm.
They're just a trail of broken bones.
Yeah.
Leading to this.
I like it.
Pinnacle.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. That could be fun. Yeah. I really enjoy. What did you think of the Strong's chant at the end?
That's what I was saying. The crowd was like, strong.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah. They were into it.
Yeah.
He led them into it.
Sure. Sure. But we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Jury's out for me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know yet.
I think when he had the, when they put the heavyweight championship on him was probably the best work he did there. And they had these longer vignettes.
We're talking about
back when he was in WWE.
Oh, okay.
And he showed some real good character stuff for a while. Then they just couldn't find a
whatever
right thing for him as it is with everybody.
Yeah.
But he's always, like I said, super athletic and was able to work some really good matches in his time there. And
cool.
I'm excited to see him work with some of these guys.
All right. We'll see what happens next. This is just his debut.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see where it goes. Maybe he will be, going up against Sammy and Big Bad Steve and Famous B for the next little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Should we do this next match? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Next, Antonio Cueto walks out of his office again. He talks about the gift of the gods, and this one's for a medallion. He said, "Let's put some red blood in my blue ice house." Yeah. Did he say ice house?
Yes, he did say ice house.
Okay, good. So you must be right. Here it is. Drago, the guy you completely forgot last week. No, I listened. It was my mistake. Versus Dragon Azteca Jr. Drago enters with Cobra Moon. Drago, the fire engine red. Looks great.
This is, okay, we joke about this a lot, but this actually was legitimately new gear.
Really?
Yes.
It looks great.
Yeah. Because he had like his sort of dragon, I don't know if they're teeth or they're supposed to be claws, but they were like strips of them that were going all the way down his arms, including like full like gauntlets, and then all the way down his legs too. Mm-hmm. That was all new.
Yeah, and he looked focused.
Sure.
You see that there was like a shot of him. He just was ready to go. He's just not messing around.
Yeah.
Not messing around.
They even hit him with like an ultraviolet like lighting at one point, but it didn't quite work. He had, how he's got those eyeballs his...
eyeball elbows.
Eyeballs on his elbows. And I'm telling you, if you go back and watch, for a second they switched the lighting over to ultraviolet. The eyeballs popped just for a second, but then they cut away. I was like, what? So weird. It seemed custom for his gear.
Yeah.
Maybe just coincidence. I don't know.
Against Dragon Azteca Jr., extends his hand to begin, Drago does, and a good quick to start their good quick sequence. These guys are great, really good together. I would have liked to have seen 7 more minutes or so to get a real kind of match out of them here. But it was good. Awesome Drago flip after a sequence to the outside, as he does. He's great. Drago starts to remove Dragon Azteca's mask.
What the hell is going on there? It's a
garbage truck of some sort. It's a moving van.
What is this?
It's like a muscle car.
Jeez. What is this city coming to? Muscle cars in the middle of a Sunday, driving on people's alleyways?
Yeah. Anyways, Drago starts to remove Dragon Azteca Jr.'s mask, actually exposing his face for a second.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I really liked how Stryker and Vamp built up how disgraceful that is, or the ultimate shame.
And that was... That actually doesn't happen a whole lot in... Lucha Underground, like mask play. You know what I mean? It happens a lot in even in New Japan when they have luchadors, their Tiger Mask, his mask is always getting messed with. Same thing. And when I was watching CMLL, like, but they're just constantly, it's just like one, it's like a suplex. It's messing with people's masks. So it's kind of nice actually that they haven't gone really far down that.
Yeah.
Because it makes it more meaningful.
Sure. Right? I think so. Yeah, it was a good back and forth in this match. Drago hit the flipping blockbuster DDT for a near fall. That looked great. Yeah, like I said, it was really evenly matched. It was good back and forth. Drago goes to the top. Dragon Azteca cuts him off for a really creative finish. As I said, good match. It was just a little too short. Like, even like three more minutes, I think they could have gone somewhere. Post-match, Cobra Moon, starts getting trashed by Johnny Mundo, who walks in.
Yeah, which at first seems super random. But then the Stryker and Vampiro did a good job of reminding us that this is because of, you know, whatever happened in Aztec Warfare. So that was nice. Okay, because I was like, what is the motivation? Why on earth would Johnny Mundo care about Cobra Moon at all? But she had you know, screwed him over.
So
that was good.
And it was good because then we get introduced to, for this time, first time this season, Taya with a surprise spear onto Cobra Moon. An extended beat down to kind of go to the break. So that's all right, I'm in on this feud for sure.
And we also saw, I'm pretty sure for the first time ever, on screen kiss from Taya and Johnny Mundo.
You might be right.
Yes.
You might be right. It's official in Lucha Underground universe.
That's right. It was a little very weird.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to go into like a Reptile Tribe versus the Worldwide Underground.
There we go. Hey.
Yeah.
Sure.
It would be great.
We haven't seen the Rabbit Tribe yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
Last two episodes in, still nothing.
Yeah. No Masquerita Sagrada.
With the little
rabbit
cottontail.
That's right. Do you feel like they took our advice on that? It's really weird, right? This happens a lot with my, I know the, I've mentioned before, but the my MasterChef.
Your favorite podcast that you work on.
We say stuff and then like the next season it's there.
Yeah.
Freaks me out sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
Okay, so we're half an hour in, so we should probably take a break for some messages from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcast, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Trev, so I'm assuming that you watched another episode of Man of Arms,
Art of War. Yes, today's episode two is called Weapons of the Gods. So I'm like, all right, here we go. But it's, basically they're just going to India, and because these are like very, very ancient. And they show some Bollywood movies this time around.
Oh.
All the same people. Although they had, for the first time, a female forger. I think that's a word I should have been using before. The forging instead of smelting or whatever it is they're doing.
Sure.
And it's really intense. This one's just like pounding, like this hammer just pounding.
What kind of weapons were they making?
Okay, so the first one was like fits on your hand and has two that come out on either side, two long blades that come out on the left and right.
Gotcha.
And then kind of a half circle over top with another sharp blade that comes out of
like
the front
a
of your fist.
Like yes. A three-point
sword that you hold in your hand.
Crazy.
Each one kind of 90 degrees point from the other. The ones on the right and left were much more deadly than the one in the front.
Sure.
So it could be used for slashing and stuff like that. And the other one was like, you may have seen these before, like really, really flimsy and long kind of thing that almost like it's a sword, but it's flimsy and long so that when you swing it creates almost like a whip effect with the blade and like goes way faster than like a samurai blade could because of this.
I have never heard of like this show sounds quite educational.
Miles per hour. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty nuts.
What?
Crazy. Yeah. But the highlight of this one was when Danny Trejo had to use the three-pronged blade on all they had was like cantaloupes and like different melons, right?
Yeah.
And each one never really kind of had any sort of good of effect. Like he'd always kind of, they'd shoot it in slow motion every time too. He was like, yeah, and it's just kind of getting stuck in the side. And they never, I don't think they ever really got a good take. Mm. The best takes they got were like from one of the forgers that you could tell they shot later, where they're just throwing them at him and he's like swinging at them with the thing always in slow motion. But the whip definitely they did it just to like these hanging bags of red sand so that when it would connect like it just like pour out and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah,
Man of War.
Yep.
No,
Man of Arms, Art of War.
Man of Worms.
I'm a man of few worms.
Oh boy. Did you get, did anybody on our social media feeds mention Microman?
No, not yet. No.
Well, guys, you got to get on the Microman train.
Okay.
It's, Google around. It won't take you long. Go to Lucha Blog.
Okay.
Look up Microman. He's the smallest man.
How big is this train?
Is the train?
Will I break it if I get on it? He's very little.
Very, very tiny.
Yeah.
People love him.
Yeah.
Let's
do this.
Okay.
Antonio's office. Takes a swig from what I assume is a Modelo.
Yeah.
And in comes Katrina again, Bamfs. And he calls, he says, are you some sort of phantasma? I like that line a lot.
I actually got the impression that Antonio was not feeling well. That he was some discomfort, some pain.
Well, I think he's always in pain. He's old and walking around with his cataract eye and a cane.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I kind of got the impression that he was in a panic to be somewhere or he was going to go out somewhere because he needed something really quickly. Like, it was a bit of a panic. And then he kind of got cut off by Katrina.
Maybe it actually is Dario Antonio Cueto. And he's, like, recovering from his injuries.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that.
Okay, okay.
Future eps.
Okay,
if he's
okay.
holding his stomach
where
he got shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then that would, and then it would also make sense why it's the same actor.
Yes. And, yeah. Luis Fernandez Gil.
No.
I think that's it.
God, what is that guy up to? Hire him to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, where she again mentioned she's stuck between the spirit world and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they make another return to arguably the best match in Lucha Underground history, Phoenix and Mill, Grave Consequences.
Yeah.
Next week, which is awesome. Yeah. I mean, oh, God, Phoenix, you just know he will drop a gallon or two in that, as he always does.
Yeah,
these types of matches.
I mean, my overall feeling towards all these matches, I hate to say it, were sort of like, yeah, okay. Like I am still waiting for that moment to make me excited about the show again, and even the idea of Mill versus Phoenix isn't quite there for me, and I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to have to be something new and surprising. Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't really heard from Phoenix and.
It's true.
His life.
Yeah.
I assume we'll get one of those. I think they have to be very... Well, I know that they've said there's going to be less vignettes, so they have to be very economical with them, right?
Oh, less vignettes.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Mm-hmm. We should lean in the other direction. Mm. More vignettes. Mm. Less matches.
That'd be nice.
You know? Only one match, an ep, or something.
Yeah.
Playing to your strengths, guys.
Yeah.
Anyways. I wonder if Phoenix and Melissa Santos are still together.
Why, I can't see why not.
I don't know. Has any time supposed to have passed between?
I think so. I think probably close to the same amount.
Well, you can always just cut to them being like, sorry, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Right. There's not going to be any problems when we work together, is there? No, of course not. Then cut to like, you know,
Marty the Moth
later or whatever, where it's just like, what? Like, what? I'm not doing anything, you know?
Oh, God.
Ugh. And then, like, another week later, it's just like, what is your problem? Like, just screaming. And then like, just her crying on his shoulders kind of thing. And then maybe makeup sex. again, another big blow up.
Yeah.
Until everything.
That's like, a YouTube exclusive.
Why don't we just... I think we can't talk to each other anymore. Okay.
Mm.
And so that was like for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Finally, it's like, you want a cup of coffee? They did. Mm. Turns out everything's okay. Now they're on just like friendship tip.
I like that.
Yeah.
That could be, I mean, that sounds like the most intriguing thing that's going to happen all season. So I'm on board.
Just full of good ideas today. Anyways, main event for the Lucha Underground Championship. Oh, what did you think of Antonio Cueto's office?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt comfort being back in the office for some reason. When it came up, I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Like, it felt nice to be back in that environment for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Anything about the office in particular that stuck out with me? Not really.
No. It's just, it's much more, it's not as fancy.
Yeah, less classy.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Cueto is just such a weird character, man.
Yeah.
Having him come out to like watch the matches and stuff, and having him just like looking around in like that wig and the and the eye, so weird.
Yeah,
I really hope it does turn out to be Dario impersonating his own father. God, that would be funny.
I'm out of Kessler!
Place goes crazy.
Oh my God, yeah.
Pentagon Dark versus Matanza. You notice Melissa still has a little bit of heat with Pentagon when he walked by. They haven't dropped that.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I'm bell glad. Rings. The bell rings and they start brawling outside. I had obviously high hopes for this match. I'll say big disappointment. Matanza's thrown to the chairs, long chop spot, like maybe way too long. Remember when he's like I think Pentagon's become too comfortable as like the kind of baby face, almost like clown to some extent. Remember he did the pizza spot?
Yeah, dude. I think it is a symptom of doing of your bread and butter becoming American indies.
Mm.
And you're just going from show to show and you're doing really weird stuff and you sort of, maybe you lose a sense of who your character is and who your character is supposed to be because of all the things you're getting paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, you begin to develop like your sort of greatest hits. And on an American indie show, you can pin their big guy. You can just, their big guy will, it doesn't have to be a fight, you know yeah. what I mean? But for this, it definitely felt very, very weird.
Mm-hmm. Out of character.
Out of character for Matanza as well,
yeah.
just to sit back yeah, and let it yeah. happen.
Oh, man, Matanza was booked so weakly in this match. Like, he had a couple, like, he had hope spots. When this is a guy who, they mentioned it before, had beat Pentagon
twice.
And, you know, was brutal with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe this is part of the plan with Matanza, is that he's lost some sort of power and that he is...
Could
losing.
Be.
That's what my hope is.
Yep.
But he did not look like the great wrestler he had been before.
Yeah, and it is still Jeff Cobb, yeah?
Yep. I wrote here, he's just like, does not feel like a monster.
Yeah, the whole... match just kind of came and went for
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice Vanilla Ice in the crowd?
No.
Yeah, he was getting tweeted about on by Lucha Underground had actually tweeted that he had come to that show. Antonio Cueto was tweeting with about it. Yeah,
that's great. If they could bring in more celebrities that are like ice based.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
That would be great. I'm not sure who else.
Ice Cube, Ice T.
Yeah. They're in LA. I'm sure that we can make that happen. That'd be awesome.
That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So they couldn't just like crank up the AC in there so it's so cold people have to wear winter jackets. I wonder if wrestlers have a preference for the temperature yeah. of the, like, if you're wrestling in a really cold environment,
yeah,
do things hurt more?
No, it's probably good. It's like playing hockey, yeah. Like you sweat as soon as you start to sit on the bench, but it feels good when you're out moving in the cold.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I just liked him to lean into this ice house thing a little bit more. I want it to be like an ice, like a level in Mario or something, you know, where like everything from top to bottom is just like frozen and there's snow and there's parkas, there's penguins.
You like slip when you're outside the rink.
Yes.
You can't get your feet.
Yeah, totally. Underneath. What if it was in an old ice rink and then you just put actual ice? Like that would be amazing.
Yeah. You'd
be breaking legs and ankles left, right, and center.
This is where there was a really good exchange between Stryker and Vampiro, where Stryker's like, light will always overcome dark. And what's his name? Had some sort of response. I can't remember what it was, but I think you should look that up. crowd was feeling this match, though. And it turned into, I didn't hate it. It turned into a pretty good match. It just had a nice finish with the two code reds and the package pile driver. But, yeah, I just don't see why Matanza was so weak. And then they almost broke his arm. And I'm like, what, are you just going to neuter this guy entirely here? But thankfully, Antonio enters with the key. And he just says, you are weak. So maybe they are going to go somewhere with this. And that leads us to the last segment in Antonio's office. Jeremiah Crane, he wants in on the grave consequences. And Antonio... gives in to his demands, so we will have next week, instead of the rematch of that great match, which is probably good that they do change it up, it is a three-way to the grave. So does that mean one person dies or two people die?
Great question.
And is that officially a mass murder if that occurs? Are we witness to a mass murder?
I mean, I would think that the... it's going
to... Three-way to the grave.
Three-way to the grave.
Three-way to the graves.
It's interesting. So is it the first person who loses? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. If it is, two people have to end up in a coffin for the third person to win.
Yeah.
I am thinking...
There's not a lot of space.
Well, like two people in one?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
Snuggle up.
That could be good.
I don't know if it could or not.
I don't know. I mean... Phoenix and Mil Muertes, quote unquote, die in the show quite a bit and come back without issue. Nobody else really does. Or I guess King Cuerno did, right?
Sounds about right.
But how did he? Did you ever get an explanation?
His eyes opened up.
But why?
No. Or did his eyes open? I'm thinking of Mil Muertes. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Nobody stays dead.
Nobody stays dead.
Except for Conan, Big Rick.
Big Rick died in the comic book.
Yeah.
It was so silly. I wonder what happened to that guy. That guy was really big. I do wonder.
Yeah.
No Mr. Mectacular. So no Mr. Pectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole episode's a dud for me.
That's all it takes. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Well, now we know that we'll be getting really excited, extra excited when he does show up.
That's right. Oh, man, that guy. Big Bad Steve, too. I'm just like, you could have done anything. Anything at all. You have total control over the gimmick. And it's just a guy who is vaguely a mechanic.
Yeah, but they've been finding spots for... Like, that just shows you what his role is going to be. And that's a role that they've used that he's been in, or somebody like Mr. Cisco has been in, or Cortez has been in. It's just like that, you know, jobber to the stars who's not even really a mid-carder, but is in there for these three ways and whatever. That's fine. He'll be fine.
I know. But it's like, he could have just done...
You don't like Big Bad Steve? You don't like the name?
No. You can do anything. You can do anything. You can still have the person play that role.
Yeah, right? I know.
So
yeah, if Sammy can keep his name, why can't just Steve Payne? Doesn't that sound better than Big Bad Steve?
Yeah.
Yep. Especially with Savage Jake Strong.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well.
The whole thing continues to feel weird.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah. I thought this was a step in the right direction. This episode. A little more optimism than I did after episode one, but it's not my cup of optimism is not overflowing.
Fair enough. Yep. Fair enough. Do you think this is still the same Cobra Moon as well? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't entirely sure. I began to have doubts, but now that I know that it actually is cheerleader Melissa.
No, you're thinking of Mariposa. Oh yeah.
No, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Anyways, anything else we want to talk about?
No, not at all. Okay. I got laundry to do. I got marking to do.
Okay.
I got to go.
How can people find us on social media?
Search for Lucha Afterground on Twitter. You should find us, as well as subscribe on iTunes to the Place to Be Nation and their various other incarnations, including Place to Be Nation Pop podcast, which I was super excited to hear Brad talking about the Sega Dreamcast, which is an old favorite of mine. So if you guys are into something like that, go and check it out.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us, guys. We'll be here next week.
Question is, will you join us?